Welcome to the Sovereign Grace Assembly weekly Bible study. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Elder John Willis of Sovereign Grace Assembly. And we do a weekly Bible study here on the internet. And tonight we are in Luke chapter 19. So as I say every week, if you don't have your Bible, go get it because you're going to need it. It is a Bible study after all. And I hope that what is said tonight will be edifying to you as we look at God's Word and we look at one of the most well-known but never thought of stories in the Bible. And we're going to back up. As I said, we're at Luke 19. So if you would open your Bibles up to Luke 18. 2 weeks ago, we covered this story, and it is so relevant to tonight's readings that we are going to cover it again. So Luke 18, starting at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "Things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Jumping to chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this opportunity to gather here on the internet. God, I pray that the words I speak will be straight and true, that they will be your words, not mine. And God, I pray that those who are listening will be edified, that they will come to know you more, that if there are any watching this who don't know you, God, that you would soften their hearts, that you would draw them to you. God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have two stories here. The one from 18 with the rich young ruler who seemed to want to know how to get to heaven, how to be saved. Yet, when he counted the cost that he would have to give up everything, then he wasn't happy. He wanted to go to heaven, but not at the price of what he had here on earth. Then Jesus travels on, leaving the rich young ruler to his money. And he comes through Jericho. And there's a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a publican. Publican is the Old English name for tax collector. And as we've discussed many times previously, the tax collectors worked for Rome, and they were despised by the Jews because they would extort money from them. Rome told them they had to get a certain amount of money. They would tell the people they had to pay more and then keep the difference. And since it says he was a chief tax collector, then that probably means he was in charge of the entire Jericho district and had several tax collectors who worked for him, which means he was probably quite rich because Jericho was a very prosperous trading center. It was right on the road to Jerusalem. You had to go through there to get to Jerusalem. So, a lot of taxes to be collected. And it's important to note that in chapter 18, Jesus was dealing with a rich young ruler, and he said, "How difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And yet here, Jesus demonstrates that with God, nothing is impossible. Now, it says that Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because of the press, because he was small of stature. Now, what that means is there was a big crowd. Jesus was probably traveling with a lot of other people on their way to the Passover celebration in Jerusalem. And the crowd would have been the people of Jericho. They probably lined the streets to see the man they'd heard all about. You have to remember, Jericho is like 15 miles from Bethany. And Jesus, you know, these people had heard about Lazarus, that Jesus had raised him from the dead. So, between his fame as a healer and a teacher, probably the entire city was excited when they heard that he was coming to town, even though he's just passing through. Now, Zacchaeus was short. They kindly say he was of little stature. He was a short guy. So he couldn't see through the crowds. So what's he do? He runs down the road ahead of Jesus, and he climbs up a sycamore tree. Now, if you're not that familiar with them, sycamores are a very sturdy tree with low-hanging branches. And a small person could easily climb out on the branches overhanging the road to see Jesus as he walked by. Now, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. Very rich, very important person, very high position, and climbing out on a tree, you would have thought was kind of below his dignity. But he wanted to see Jesus. So what happens? Jesus comes to the place, he gets to the tree, he looks up, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at your house today. Now, this is the first time, this is the only time in the Gospels where Jesus invites himself to somebody's house. And he doesn't just invite himself. You know, it's a mandate. I must stay at your house. Not, can I stay at your house? Would you let me stay at your house? But I must stay at your house. Nowhere else in the scripture does that happen. And it says, Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Such a despicable sinner as this tax collector might have been distressed at the prospect of the Messiah visiting their house. But Zacchaeus' heart had been prepared for this day. God had softened his heart to the point where he was joyful that Jesus was going to come and stay at his house. And what happened? When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Both the religious elite and the common people hated Zacchaeus, probably justifiably in their minds. They didn't understand, and in their blind pride refused to see what possible righteous purpose Jesus could have for going to stay at Zacchaeus's. Because Zacchaeus is a notorious sinner. But, as he says later, Jesus had come to seek and save the lost. And then Zacchaeus says something odd. And the way it reads, we assume this is after they got to the house, maybe after they talked a while. But Zacchaeus stood, which makes me think it was later, because he climbed down the tree, he would have been standing. It wouldn't be Zacchaeus stood. And he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Pretty big donation. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Now, you got to understand something here. First off, Zacchaeus' willingness to make restitution shows that his conversion was genuine. It was the fruit of his conversion, not the condition for it. Zacchaeus was converted, and he knew that he needed to do this because it was the right thing to do. Now, the law. Let's go back to Moses. In both Leviticus 6:5 and Numbers 5, verses 6 and 7, there's a requirement that a penalty of 1/5 as restitution for money acquired by fraud. So, in modern terms, if you defrauded somebody of $100, you had to pay them back $120. In those days, you were usually dealing with animals. Exodus 5:22-1. Exodus 22:1, not 5:22:1, demands that if an animal is stolen or killed, or stolen and killed, the owner should be paid fourfold. Which is what Zacchaeus said he was going to do. He said, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So, Zacchaeus, although not dealing with animals, dealing with money, says, I will restore them fourfold. In Exodus 22:4, it demands, the law, demands that if an animal is found alive, the owner should be repaid twofold. So Zacchaeus judged his crimes so severely, acknowledging that he was guilty, as guilty as the lowest common robber. And since much of his wealth was probably acquired through fraudulent means, this was a costly commitment he was making. On top of that, he's going to give half his goods to the poor. Why? Why would he do that? Humanly, it makes absolutely no sense. He could have easily just done what the law said. He could have, the people that he defrauded, he could have gave them a fifth more than what he defrauded them from. Zacchaeus had just found incredible spiritual riches. And he didn't mind the loss of his material wealth. Whereas the rich young ruler in her previous chapter was sorrowful when he thought he was going to have to give up his material wealth and went away. Zacchaeus was not sorrowful. Zacchaeus was more than happy to give up his material wealth because he had something bigger. He had something better. Flip over to Matthew 13. Just back a couple chapters. Well, a couple books, technically. Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. This is Jesus talking. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The pearl of great price is Jesus. When a wretched sinner like you, like me, like everybody around us, finds Jesus, then there's no price too high to pay to have him. That's why Zacchaeus could joyfully give away half of everything he had and pay back those who he defrauded fourfold. Because he realized he had something better. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was a Jew. And Jesus had come as Savior to the Jews. That was his whole purpose. He came to get his people, the Jews, to save them. And again, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Now, the Son of Man, that's a messianic title. You find it back in Daniel 7, 13 and 14. That's a title that Jesus used for himself more than any other. In fact, it's recorded in the New Testament, in the Gospels, 83 times Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And Jesus is the only person in the Gospels who refers to himself that way. Not just to himself, nobody else used the term Son of Man. That was strictly something that Jesus said. And the most important part of that, he says he came to seek and save that which was lost. If you've been following along with us, you know by now that that is the main theme of Luke's gospel. It's all about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, growing up, starting his ministry, and his entire ministry had the goal of seeking and saving the lost. That's why he was born. Jesus was born to seek and save the lost, to make salvation possible for the wretched sinners of this world. The whole thing. You know, if anybody asks you, you know, what was Jesus' purpose, it was to seek and save the lost. Now, two questions. Are you following Jesus and seeking the lost? Are you telling them about him? If you are saved, if you are genuinely saved, that's your job. We have a master who has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel doesn't mean getting up in front of a church group, going out on the streets and standing on the corner and preaching about Jesus. Preaching the gospel can be as simple as talking to a lost friend about Jesus. It's not that difficult. The reason we make it difficult is because of the fear of man. We're afraid what people will think of us. We should be more concerned with what Jesus thinks of us. Because if we are soundly saved, we have an obligation to tell others, to share the good news with them. Second question. If you're watching this and you are not saved, if you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you think that you're good enough to go to heaven when you die, why would you think that? You have no righteousness. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's only one way to be saved, and that is to repent of your sin. Repent meaning stop doing it, turn around, go the opposite direction. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy for any human to just give up everything and turn their life over to Christ. A lot of people think they've done that, and yet they just go on living the same way the rest of the world does. They are those whom, at the final judgment, Jesus will say, Depart from me, I never knew you. There are two phrases people will hear in heaven. People who claim to follow Jesus, who claim to have given their life to him. There will be those who hear, depart from me, I never knew you. And those who hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You can't get well done, good and faithful servant if you're not being a good and faithful servant. Just because you walked an aisle or raised your hand or went forward in youth camp doesn't mean you're saved. What it does mean is that you might be saved. But are you willing to bet your eternity on might be? Jesus has very strict rules. And one of those rules, the most important of those rules, and it's probably not even a rule, it's just a fact of life, is that he's the Lord, he's the Savior. You can't save yourself, and as Lord, you need to follow his directions. If you're not following his directions, then he's probably not your Lord. So, where do you find his directions? Right here. This is God's word. God gave us this book. Thousands of people died for this book, translating it into other languages, smuggling into countries where it was banned. In America, you find this book everywhere. You can go to a hotel and there it is in the drawer. Most people have two or three or four copies of it. Some of us walk around with it on our phones. But how many people actually read it? This is January. A lot of people at the beginning of the year said, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. And they start off gung-ho. Genesis, yeah, good stuff in there. You'll read through that. Then they get to Exodus. And it's like, yeah, well, this isn't nearly as exciting as Genesis was, but I keep going. And then they get along, you know, about day 50, day 60, day 70. They run into Leviticus. And Leviticus is just... it's law. It's all law. And it's, if you aren't focusing, if you're not asking the Holy Spirit to help you, that's where you're going to get bogged down. And then you got Numbers, which is well named because it's all about numbers. And then finally Deuteronomy, and I read the other day that of the people who say they're going to read through the Bible in a year, like 65% of them never make it to Deuteronomy because they think it's too hard. It's not hard. This is God's word. God gave men the inspiration and told them what to write down. You know, it's like the old joke, which isn't really a joke, you know. If you want to hear God's word, read his Bible out loud. Because every word in this book is the word of God. And I'm afraid that we aren't reading our Bibles. Baptists have always been known as a people of the book. And yet, so many, even Baptists who are soundly saved, don't read their Bible. Don't be one of them. There's a bazillion different Bible reading plans out there. And you don't have to use any of them. Just pick up the book, open it up, and read it. You know, I mean, personally, I think, this is my opinion, I think the best place to start reading the Bible is with Luke. I think Luke gives the most understandable, readable description of both Jesus' life and the church. Because Matthew was basically written to Jews. So there's a lot of stuff in it that if you're just starting out, you're not going to understand what he's talking about. Mark basically is from Peter's point of view. Luke was writing to his friend Theophilus, who was a Greek, probably in Rome. So Luke leaves out some details, but they're details that a non-Christian, non-Jewish person wouldn't understand. You know, I mean, it's like if you're a car guy and you're writing to tell somebody about the new car you got and they're not a car guy or car girl, you know, you're not going to go into, you know, compressions and, you know, what size cam it's got and all that kind of stuff because they're not going to have any idea what you're talking about. But same with Luke writing to Theophilus. So I guess what I'm saying is, you need to be reading your Bible every day. And you need to read both the Old and the New Testament. Because the Old Testament points toward the coming of Christ. And the New Testament points to the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So that's where we're at. Now, one more thing. If you are not a Christian, if you are not soundly saved, you need to get right with God. And there's only one way you can do that. You need, excuse me. You need to stop. You need to stop sinning. You need to recognize that you're a sinner, just like the rest of us. And you need to turn to Christ. And you need to ask him for forgiveness, for eternal life, and to help you grow in your knowledge of him. Okay? All right. This is actually Tuesday. We normally do our Bible study on Wednesday. Due to some Facebook problems, we did it live here tonight on YouTube, and it will be uploaded onto Facebook later. And before I go, I don't know how many of you noticed that the title this week was Zacchaeus Was a Wee Little Man. If you grew up Baptist, you immediately knew what that was, because that's what immediately comes to mind when you talk about Zacchaeus to someone who grew up in a Baptist church. For some reason, somebody wrote a song for kids. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the sages were passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going home with thee. I'm going home with thee. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but a happy man was he, for he had seen the Lord that day, and a happy man was he, and a very happy man was he. If you are saved, then one day, no matter what life puts you through, when you get to heaven and you see Jesus, you're going to be a very happy person, man or woman, whichever you are. But with that, let me pray for you, and we'll call it a night. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for those who are watching this. God, I pray that you would comfort those who need comfort, that you would heal those who need healing. God, that you would soften the hearts and draw those who don't know you to yourself. And God, I pray that you would use Sovereign Grace Assembly to reach our community, that we would share the gospel with them and help in the growth of your kingdom. And God, I thank you for today and for tomorrow. And I pray that you would continue to watch over us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is our first Facebook Live. I'm going to say, have a great week. Go serve your king. And we'll see how long it takes to end this thing, because I've seen people have problems with it. First, I got to find where to shut it off. Then I can edit it. I can, oh, big red button in the middle says end stream. Goodbye.